Thank you for listening to Christian Family Church Podcast. Here at CFC, our mission is to live and communicate the power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ to the world around us. From wherever you're listening, we hope you'll be encouraged by this week's message.
So good to be with you this morning. It's so good to be able to share the Word of God with you. And, you know, I've just been really excited about being able to share with you this morning. It's a joy and a privilege to be able to open the Word of God with you. And it's good to be back. So we're going to pray before we get started. And if you're here for the first time this morning, I'm Andrew. Good, nice to meet you. If I haven't met you, you've been coming for the last couple of months or even the last 6 months and you've hardly seen me, it's great to meet you this morning. My name's Andrew. It's good to be here. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord God, we just thank you for every day of life that we have that is a gift from you. Lord God, we just thank you for this moment to open your word together, Lord, and I just thank you that you understand everything that's happening in our lives, Lord God, the joys, the challenges, the frustrations, the excitements, the things we're looking forward to. And Lord, for those who feel like they're looking forward to nothing, God, I just thank you that you understand our hearts. And God, I just really pray today that you would breathe upon us, Lord, that you would fill us afresh by your Spirit. That God, you would encourage us, Lord, that you would bring correction, Lord, where we need correction, Lord. You would bring inspiration and excitement, Lord, about the things that you are doing, the things you have done. And God, I just thank you for this moment that you are here with us. Your Spirit is with us and you are for us and not against us. And I just pray, Lord, that you would speak to us, Lord, this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I feel like I'm coming out over there, but not over there, but maybe I'm just not used to being up here. That's okay. Who has a favorite food? Anyone have a favorite food? Food in general, food is good. I like food. I've got to say, the last 6 months, my appetite has been all over the place, and I've been eating pretty healthy. I've got to say, the last 6 months, eating a lot of vegetables. But who has a favorite snack? Now let's just have a think about, you know, that secret snack that we stash and hide and pretend we don't have. Does anyone have a secret or a favorite naughty snack, if you want to put it that way? Maybe you like chocolate. Maybe you like chips. Maybe it's Pringles. Okay, who's had a hot cross bun already in January? I'm gonna confess, I've already had one. The other week down in Melbourne in hospital, hot cross buns was about the only food that I could eat and enjoy. I was like, oh, get me some hot cross buns, please, Rochelle. Maybe it's licorice. Rochelle bought me licorice to give her for her birthday, not knowing I'd already bought her some to give her anyway. Maybe it's coffee scrolls. I love an apple scroll or an apple cake. Anyone else here love an apple cake or an apple scroll, coffee scroll? Now, take a deep breath. Imagine for a moment that thing that you just have that craving for at about 5 o'clock in the afternoon or whatever time of day it is that you have at any time. Maybe it's right now. Imagine that food, that thing that you just love, disappeared, was gone forever. No chocolate ever to be found on earth again. You couldn't make it, you couldn't buy it, you couldn't find it. No coffee scrolls, no apple scrolls, not even an apple cake. Imagine they were gone. Well, for a couple of months, when we went around Australia a few years ago, I searched for 3 months to find an apple scroll, even just a coffee scroll. I went to bakery after bakery after bakery. You understand my love of bakeries. And I couldn't find a coffee scroll, not an apple scroll, nothing. I was appalled. Anyway, finally, after nearly 3 months of traveling, we're coming back into Victoria. The COVID rules left and we're allowed to come back. Oh, forget about those things. Anyway, we're coming into Victoria. We got to Bordertown and I went into the bakery. And there was my apple scroll. And I've got to say, it was one of the best apple scrolls I've ever eaten. Rochelle actually videoed me eating it because she could just see the enjoyment on my face. And I was going to play it for you this morning, but it was slightly too embarrassing, so I didn't. I say all that for this one reason. The title of my message this morning is Hunger and Thirst. Hunger and Thirst. The moment you have that craving for that bit of chocolate tonight, or those hot chips this afternoon, or that apple scroll, whenever it may be, then whenever you crave that thing, I pray that you'll think about this message, Hunger and Thirst. We're going to open the Word together right now and open up to Matthew chapter 5. And I'm going to read from the NIV translation up on the screen this morning. And this is a passage that many of us might know well. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1, it says, "Now when he saw the crowds, being Jesus, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them, saying, 'Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.'" Now we're just going to stop there today, and I want to focus particularly this morning on verse 6. "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." I wonder if you've ever felt empty. Have you ever felt like you've just got to the end of your strength, you have nothing left? Maybe it was the end of the year. Maybe it was a time when things were going on in your life and you had just given every ounce of strength to try and get through the challenges that were happening in your life. It's not a pleasant feeling to just feel totally empty, like you've got nothing left. I want to live a full life. I want to live a life where I'm able to bless others with God, what God has blessed me with. I want to be filled with His strength so I can give His strength to others. I wonder how often we worry about not having enough strength, enough ability. Maybe you feel like you haven't got what it takes to do well in school or in your workplace. You feel like you've got this job, but you just can't quite ever measure up to what the boss expects you to do. Maybe you feel like you've never got enough money, never got enough time, never got enough wisdom. You're always making wrong choices, it seems like. Maybe you feel like you haven't got enough friends. Maybe you feel like you just haven't got enough to show for your life. I just want to read verse 6 to you again. "Blessed, blessed, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." It doesn't say will be filled if this and this and this happens, or if this and this doesn't happen, if they always have things go well for them. No, it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." Other translations say, "will be satisfied." If you want to be blessed, if you want to be filled, if you want to be satisfied, hunger and thirst, not for apple cakes and chocolate, hunger and thirst for righteousness. Hunger and thirst, crave, seek after righteousness. And maybe you're sitting there saying, "That sounds great, Andrew, but I have no clue what you mean by righteousness." I'm glad you asked. Righteousness, the original word, dikaiosune. I could have said that completely wrong, but I apologize. Righteousness means being right in God's sight. Or other people might say, being as one fully ought to be. It's being as we were created to be righteous, fully acceptable to God. But you know, in reality, the only one who is righteous is God. No one is righteous. No one is holy. No one is perfect and pure and fully true in all things than God. He is the only one who is fully righteous. Jesus came and lived as the only human who lived a righteous life. And we are not righteous, not even one. The Bible talks about our greatest deeds being like filthy rags because we are tainted with sin. Our desires are evil. We're sinners and we fall short of God's glorious standard, His perfection. But have a listen to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. This is the good news of the gospel. God has united you. God, not you, not me, God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy and freed us from sin. That is the greatest news that we can ever know. That sinners like me can be set free because of the blood of Jesus Christ. You can go through anything in this life, but if you know that this is true for you, you have eternity to look forward to. No matter what might be ahead in your week ahead, we have righteousness through Christ. We are made pure. We are made holy through Christ. That is extraordinary. It's phenomenal. It's crazy good. Point number one, Jesus has done it all. So often we start to think, oh, I can't do it, I don't measure up. We try and run away from God because we've messed up. We run like Jonah. But Jesus has done it all. And we simply have to come to him. Maybe today you feel like you've stuffed it up, you've mucked it up, you've done this, you've done that, you've mucked it up again. Jesus has done it all, and all you've got to do is come to him. I want to read the NIV translation of that same verse in 1 Corinthians. It says, it is because of him, because of God, that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness. Other translations say our sanctification and redemption. Jesus makes us right in God's sight. He makes us holy. That word sanctification, someone said it's a big word just then, and it's right. If you're wondering what sanctification means, think of sandpaper. We are justified by faith. It's just as if I'd never sinned. If you're trying to work out what the word justification means, it means through Christ, it's just as if we never sinned. That's justification. But we are sanctified. We are sandpapered. Anyone know what it feels like to be sandpapered? Because we're justified by faith. We're redeemed through Christ. But we are sanctified through this life by his work in us as well. We're slowly being made more and more into the image of Christ. And sometimes our edges are just a little bit off. They're a little bit rough. I think sometimes it's not so much sandpaper as a hacksaw that needs to come out and sort of trim some branches in our lives. But hey, God's working in us all. Just be reminded of that. That word redemption, or he redeems us, it means he's paid our debt. He's paid the price for our sin. I want to sidetrack just for a moment. We were reading a book that Caleb, I think, got it. We go to a beach mission while we're on holidays. It's fantastic. It's like from here to the end of the, probably from here to the playground away. Our kids run off and have 2 hours of child minding. It's wonderful. They go to a beach mission and they got given a book at the end of the time this year, and well, it was talking about the stars and the distances of the planets and of the stars. And does anyone know how far a light year is? Hands up if you know how far a light year is. That is awesome if you do. That's fantastic. Do you know, a light year is roughly 9.5 trillion kilometers. So you can all picture that in a number, can't you? 9.5 trillion. That's 9 billion, billion, billion. That's a lot of zeros. I think it's 12 from memory. A light year is 9.5 trillion kilometers. Have a guess in your mind. How long do you think it would take to travel in the fastest rocket ship that's ever been created? If you got inside of the fastest rocket ship ever been created that travels, let me just check my facts here, goes 5 miles a second, which is about 6,000 kilometers an hour. If you got in that rocket ship and you took off, you go into that light year away destination, have a think in your mind. How long do you think it would take? Someone's Googled already. 37,200 years. 37,200 years to travel one light year. I was Googling it last night because I was trying to remember. I think the closest star they think is maybe, is it 27 light years away? One light year, 37,200 years to travel at 6,000 kilometers an hour to get there. We live in an enormous universe. Even if we got the facts slightly wrong, it's huge. Now, think about redemption for a moment. It's a little bit like if we tried our best to reach that star, let's say one light year away, we can never make it. But if you think of redemption in the fact of someone helping us bridge the gap to that light year away, it's like they help us reach where we could never go. We can never reach God's righteous standard. But Jesus came and bridged the gap so that we could go where we could otherwise never go. We can come into his presence and be with him for in this life and for eternity to make up for our shortfall. Going on a little bit further in Matthew 6, verse 33, Jesus says very similar words. He says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, Jesus speaking. And all these things will be given to you as well. He's talking about, don't worry about this life. Don't worry about food and clothing and what you're going to wear tomorrow. Don't worry about these things. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Whatever you do, aim to live for Christ. Aim to honor what he has done in your life. Rejoice in Jesus' redemption for you. Point number two, find your joy in his love for you. Find your joy in his love for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 to 18 says this, always be joyful. Always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. If we truly hunger and thirst for righteousness above all things, if we seek his kingdom and his righteousness first, the joy of the Lord will be our strength. Like in Nehemiah 8, he says, the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. If you in 2024 desire and seek after his kingdom and his righteousness above all else, you will have joy through it all. No matter what you face, you will be blessed. You will be able to rejoice in all things because Christ has done it all for us. If we get sick, if we lose a job, if some crisis happens, we miss out on that promotion, if whatever happens in your life, sure, we get disappointed, we get frustrated, we get annoyed at times, but nothing can take away our joy in Christ. Nothing can steal the joy of our salvation if he is number one in our lives. You know, God is gracious and kind, and I'm so grateful for that. And sometimes we get things out of order. Sometimes we do things, I think we even approach it from the wrong way. We think, what can we get away with? Which is just craziness if we think about it. We get things out of order and God never pushes us away. Anyone who repents and turns to him will be saved. But can I just say, if we go through life chasing after every other thing, if we're hungry and thirsting for things of this life, people's approval, chasing after experiences and stuff, we will never be satisfied. Point number three, if we hunger and thirst for things of this life, we miss out. Maybe there's been a time in your life when you've done something you regretted. There's been something God's been saying, don't do that, don't go there, don't say that, and you think, and you just did it anyway. Wonder how satisfied and blessed and filled you feel afterwards. We are robbed in that moment when we listen to that voice, to do that thing, to say that thing, to take that fruit. It's the same sin as the Garden of Eden, thinking that God is holding out on us. And we miss out when we ignore God's calling to seek first his righteousness. We are blessed. I don't know if you've had a moment where you've been tempted to say something, do something, go somewhere you know God didn't want you to be involved with, and you've decided not to do that thing. Have you experienced the joy in that moment? I want you to think about the joy in that moment next time that voice of temptation comes and says, nah, just do this. You'll be glad you did. No, you won't. You will feel robbed and you'll miss out. You'll have moments of regret that God never wanted you to have. He wants you to be blessed. Listen to his call. Psalms talk about, oh, the joy of those who follow his will, that listen to his desires for us, who seek his kingdom. Point number four, live his way and we are blessed. We are so blessed to know our Savior, to know the word of God, to have his word to read, to be renewed day by day as we open his word and let it sandpaper us, to let it wash over us, to let it bring counsel to our lives, that we would know God's will for us, because we are blessed as we live his way. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Nothing can take away our joy if our joy is in him. I want to finish this morning. It's not a long word, it's a short word, because I just want you to hear that point, hunger and thirst for righteousness. I want to finish by reading from 1 Thessalonians 4, and I'll ask the band if they want to come as I read this. 1 Thessalonians 4, let me just turn there. Reading from verse 1 to 12. He says, finally, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you in the name of the Lord Jesus to live in a way that pleases God, as we have taught you. You live this way already, and we encourage you to do so even more. For you remember what we taught you by the authority of the Lord Jesus. God's will for you. I want you to read that again and read your own name there. God's will for Andrew. God's will for, I won't pick on anyone. God's will for you is to be, God's will is for you to be holy. So stay away from all sexual sin. Then each of you will control his own body and live in holiness and honor, not in lustful passion like the pagans who do not know God and his ways. Never harm or cheat a Christian brother in this matter by violating his wife, for the Lord avenges all such sins. As we have solemnly warned you before, God has called us to live holy lives, not impure lives. Therefore, anyone who refuses to live by these rules is not disobeying human teaching, but is rejecting God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. There's some sobering words. Verse 9. But we don't need to write to you about the importance of loving each other, for God himself has taught you to love one another. Indeed, you already show your love for all the believers throughout Macedonia, throughout Colac, throughout the Always, throughout the region. Let it be, Lord. Even so, dear brothers and sisters, we urge you to love them even more. Make it your goal to live a quiet life, minding your own business and working with your hands, just as we instructed you before. Then people who are not Christians will respect the way you live, and you will not need to depend on others. Church, let's hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let's hunger and thirst for his kingdom. Let's hunger and thirst for people to know the grace of God, that they would know his blessings, his forgiveness, and his life for them, even as we know it for ourselves. Can we stand? And I'd just love to pray with you this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Lord, there are so many things that are thrown in our face saying, you need this. You need that thing. This thing will make your life better. It's so easy to get caught up in in chasing after the stuff, chasing after the experience, chasing after people's approval. But God, I just pray this morning that you would help us to put those things down, to lay them at your feet and say, Lord, I want to seek first your kingdom. Maybe this morning, even in this moment, you want to just lift your hands and surrender and say, Lord, I give you all the stuff. I want to seek you. I want to seek your kingdom, your righteousness above all else. Lord God, we acknowledge that we have gone astray at times over this past year. Lord, there are moments where we have listened to that voice that said, oh, it doesn't matter. But Lord, this morning we come to you and ask, Lord, that you would lead us by your Spirit. That, Lord God, you would help us live this life for your glory, that we would live as citizens of heaven pursuing you and your kingdom. That, Lord, we would live in response to what you have done for us. Lord, we know we could never measure up to your glorious standard, but Jesus, you came and died for sinners like us, that we could be righteous and holy in your sight, and we praise you and we thank you today. And if there's anyone here this morning, and maybe you've known about God, you've known about Jesus and what he's done, the Bible says anyone who comes to him, anyone who puts their faith in him, anyone who trusts in him, will be set free from sin and have eternal life. But you've got to call on him. Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't push himself into your life. He waits for you to ask him in, to invite him in, to say, Lord, have your way in me. And this morning, if you have never asked Jesus to forgive you for your sin, this morning I want to invite you just to do that right now. You can quietly just pray to God and say, God, I'm sorry for the things that I've done. Please, Lord Jesus, would you forgive me? Maybe you don't understand everything about who Jesus is. You know, you've got questions about different things that happened in the Bible or whatever. But you understand that God made the world and you have not obeyed his commandments. You've disobeyed his commands and you know you're a sinner. The Bible says anyone who calls on his name, anyone who puts their trust in him will be saved. Lord Jesus, I just pray for anyone who's in that place today. Lord, we thank you that you died on the cross and you rose again victorious. You proved to the world that you have overcome sin and death. And today, as we call on you, that we can have assurance, that we can know that our names are written in your book, that our names are written in the book of life, that we have eternity to look forward to, and that you are with us and you are for us in this life. Lord, I just pray that you would bring the joy of the Spirit into the hearts of every person in this place that knows you. But Lord, we would live with the joy of the Lord being our strength. We would know that we are not missing out, but we are walking in the blessings of God as we follow you. We praise you and we thank you for everything you have done for us.